saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, my colleague at Gordon G. Chang, and we're joined by Charles Burton, senior fellow at the Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the MacDonald Laurier Institute, and I read most recently of Belt and Road, but a new twist using schooling around the world, but in particularly in Canada. Charles, this is all new to me, so a very good evening to you. How does this work?
Good evening. Well, you know, there's a lot of demand in particularly third world countries for Western style education. And so a Chinese entrepreneur jointly went with Canadian teachers to establish China Maple Leaf Educational Services, which taught a curriculum in China and some other countries. They had 14 schools in Malaysia, for example, which was accredited by the province of British Columbia. That's a common thing. Initially, these schools were international schools catering to the expatriate community, but more and more people of means in third world countries would like their children to go to the same schools and get a Western-style education. So what's happened with the China Maple Leaf schools is that the Chinese authorities have decided that it would be in the interest of China to establish the world's largest network of private schools that would teach English, but primarily Mandarin, in a curriculum which is consistent with the Chinese Educational Ministry's requirements. In other words, they'd learn Mandarin and they would learn the Chinese interpretation of history, the Chinese notion of geography, and of course would develop a cohort of students around the world who would be sympathetic to the way China sees things, to develop a kind of, if the economics is Belt and Road, this is developing the kind of mentality that would build the leaders of tomorrow that would know Mandarin and would be favorable to China's authoritarian system. So by 2025, Maple Leaf's plan is to have more than 100,000 students registered in 10 countries and then build it from then into the largest global school system in the world, with considerable Chinese government subsidy.
This individual who's heading this up, the chairman of China Maple Leaf chairman, is he a private citizen to our understanding, or is he a representative of the Communist Party? In other words, how deep is his pocket?
I think that he has won many awards from the People's Republic of China and has donated many millions of dollars to institutions in the West. And so, you know, one assumes that even if the claim is that this is an independent commercial enterprise, that in fact it represents the interests of the Chinese regime. And I would say with regard to the Maple Leaf aspect, many years ago when I was a diplomat, we had an idea that it would be nice if the Canadian ambassador would plant maple trees when he visited places in China, you know, as a symbol of friendship. So we imported about 100 maple trees to the embassy. Unfortunately, every single one that the ambassador planted died. Maple leaves do not work in China.
Gordon, a detail here. How is this the same or different than the Confucius Institutes that you introduced me to years ago until it became general knowledge that they were not especially trustworthy?
Well, the Confucius Institutes, as well as the Confucius classrooms in secondary schools, are run essentially as part of the Communist Party's United Front Work Department through central government agencies. But really, it's not the central government that's involved. It's the Communist Party. This is emblematic of this China Maple Leaf Educational Services is really emblematic of a new way of going forward, because as Confucius Institutes become controversial, they get closed, but they get opened up with different sponsors. And essentially what we're seeing is basically, it's the same Communist Party, but working through different arms.
You have a question for Charles.
Charles, what is the view of the Canadian government to this new initiative of the China Maple Leaf Educational Services?
Well, you know, initially, I guess that there were benefits to having a Canadian curriculum taught in China and other countries, but now the China Maple Leaf Educational Services will be offering their own accreditation based on their own criteria. So they're trying to create something that would be considered equivalent to the British A levels or the International Baccalaureate program in future. So really, Canada is more or less dealt out of this. And these schools have not had a presence in Canada to speak of. They're primarily in China and East Asia, catering to the Belt and Road countries, of which Canada is not one. So I think that, you know, with regard to the question of how do you distinguish them from Confucius Institutes, Confucius Institutes were a sort of supplement to university education or to high school education where they had some Mandarin programs. These Maple Leaf schools will be having the children, you know, 5 days a week, all day long. So the opportunity for developing young people who believe that the Chinese government is the coming thing in the global community and believe that the values of China's communist regime should be world values will be much, much enhanced by this. And I dare say that the cost of tuition in these schools will be highly competitive compared to international schools affiliated with other educational systems. So it could become quite attractive to people who feel that if their children know English and Mandarin, that they will be well positioned for a future China-dominated world.
Isn't China completely at odds with Canada? Doesn't China routinely, daily make threats to Canada and boycott Canada's goods?
Well, I think that they're taking advantage of an existing program of international schools that were initiated with the Canadian curriculum and are basically Sinicizing them. So I guess that part of it, in fact, would reflect that hostility to Canadian values in the sense that it's no longer seen as desirable to train young people in Western education and our kind of literature and history and science, but that they want to do it the Chinese way. Certainly relations between Canada and China could not be worse. You know, hostage diplomacy, arbitrary trade sanctions, and essentially no official contacts suggest that, you know, the relationship is almost non-existent.
So China plans to be the Pied Piper, to lead your children into a cave and disappear forever because you won't obey China. Is that it? You won't pay China its due?
Yeah, I think that the idea is to develop, you know, a cohort of people who have been inculcated with the Chinese worldview, whereas in the past with these international schools, we felt that this would transmit liberal Western democratic values into China and form a positive impact on China in the future. Now it's really gone the opposite way, and China wants to inculcate Chinese communist values in people throughout the world and are willing to invest a lot of money to make it happen.
Gordon, we have a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Charles, it would seem that Western values then very much are at risk because China intends to supplant that through the educational system. I mean, what can countries like Canada, the United States, Australia, what can we do?
Well, I think that, you know, certainly we want to be able to you know, expand our soft power through education. And maybe we should be subsidizing it to make it more attractive to parents in those countries and provide more educational materials to try and give children in the third world the opportunity to understand the benefits of our own culture and society and economy. China, you know, the Chinese state is just much more coordinated and committed to try and fulfill this goal. And my concern is that they may in fact start to do it quite well, and that parents in third world countries will see these as a superior educational option for their children than British or American or Canadian schools.
Final thought, Charles, with 30 seconds. This is Belt and Road, but it's marked down Belt and Road. Don't you agree? I mean, their big plans were billions and billions to build canals. Now they're building schools. So there's some hesitation there.
Well, I guess it's really a question of developing the soft power infrastructure and hoping that that will buttress their, you know, their hard power strategic plans for the Belt and Road to reorient the global economy towards China. You know, this is really trying to reorient the values of global people to believe that Chinese culture and society and history and ideology is superior to that of the liberal democratic West.
Charles Burton, Senior Fellow, Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the McDonnell Laurier Institute, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.